Our scripture reading for this morning will come from 3 John, beginning with verse 1. 3 John, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Most encouraging set of verses, where John is complimenting a brother, perhaps even a child in the faith, Gaius, on things that he's heard about how he is receiving strangers who come visiting the congregation. I have written out on the marquee, "Let us get to know you. Come worship with us." I want you to recall the first time you met your mate. Did you have any idea that that meeting would lead to a future marriage? Was it love at first sight? That's not always the case, is it? However, it was most fortuitous that you had that initial connection with a stranger. Haven't you experienced such relationships beginning when worshiping with a church that is not known to you? Perhaps you're visiting, or someone comes into the congregation as a new member. What is it about the church that enables us to build relationships that then last a lifetime with those who initially were strangers? Is it the worship? The fellowship? It's a blessing, isn't it? A blessing from God. Spock in Star Trek used to hold up his Vulcan sign with the V-shaped, I can't hardly do it, with these words, "Live long and prosper." John, as he writes to Gaius, almost has that concept. He said, verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health." You remember the song in Fiddler on the Roof? "A blessing on your head, mazel tov, mazel tov." There's something about people who love God that have also learned how to love their neighbor as themselves. It's a God characteristic, isn't it? It's also a God commandment. As we look at today's lesson and see the example of Gaius, It is encouraging to us, but it also should be an admonition to us to make certain that we are always welcoming of others. Gaius welcomed strangers into the worship, into the church. It says verse 5, "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers." But you say, if they're strangers, I don't know if I can trust them. Well, in Christ, we give the benefit of the doubt. We intentionally accentuate the positive, look on the good side. We're not giving them enough rope to hang themselves. No, we're welcoming visitors. Now, we'll talk about someone that John's going to address in the remaining part of 3 John, Diotrephes, next week. He had the opposite attitude of Gaius, and I think the contrast is intentional between the compliment that John is giving Gaius and the admonition that he will give to divisive Diotrephes, which is, Lord willing, next week's lesson. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now just imagine that for a minute, that a stranger in our midst is actually an angel sent from God. We're going to look at several Old Testament examples that the Hebrew writer could have had in mind. I'm certain that he had it probably at least one of these three that we're going to look at. But let me read it to you again as you think about maybe seeing wings on a stranger that's worshiping with us. Let love for the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. I want you to think of that relationship that grew and how blessed you were as you got to know that other person, whether it is your mate or a good friend, as you got to know them better. And how you being a blessing to them initially has become a blessing to you in the process. Some, by being kind to strangers, showing hospitality to strangers, have actually entertained angels. Our Lord wants us to experience His love, and His love seeks to redeem, to reclaim. His love seeks to unite, to reconcile. Turn with me to hymn number 639, a very familiar song, but with sentiments that are so appropriate for today's lesson. 639. No soul, how sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part, when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart, when free from envy, scorn and pride our wishes all above, each can his brother's failing side and show a brother's love. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. And he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glows with love. It's an attitude, isn't it? Visitors, welcome. Come, let us get to know you. Worship with us. Gaius has proved himself to be what John expected of him, a beloved who loves others. And that's who we are to be. Because of God's love for us, we are to love even the stranger. What incident in the Old Testament now, when the Hebrew writer says, be hospitable to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. What incident in the Old Testament did your mind go to? Perhaps this was it. In Genesis chapter 18, it's revealed that Abraham looked up, starting with verse 2, When he lifted up his eyes, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Abraham, or Abram and Sarai, are Bedouin. They simply move from one place to the next in their tents with their flocks and their herds. And as Abram looks up, he sees three men standing there, and he runs to them, seeking an opportunity to be hospitable. Now, Abram doesn't know at this point who these men are other than strangers. But he bows to them, and then through the course of Genesis 18, it says that he asks them to have a seat in the shade while he kills an animal and has it prepared for them. And he blesses them without knowing anything other than this is what God would have him to do. Verse 10 of chapter 18 shows where the blessing comes. One of the men speak to Abram, and he says, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. And we know what Sarah did upon that news, don't we? She laughed, which is where Isaac gets his name, laughter. But there was other things that the three men were imparting. Of course, even this says to the mind of Abraham and Sarah, oh, they're not just normal men. They're predicting that we will have a child. And then they say this, verse 20 of Genesis 18, and the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. Evidently not far from where Abraham and Sarah are the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who lives there now? Abraham's nephew, Lot. And these three men are concerned with the wickedness that's going on in Sodom. And in fact, in verse 1 of 19, it's revealed to us as readers, as it was certainly already apparent to Abraham. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Now, it's entirely possible that the Hebrew writer also has Lot in mind when he said, by being hospitable to strangers, some have entertained angels unawares. Lot doesn't know, though it has been revealed to us through Moses' writing that they were angels. Lot sees strangers coming into town. Lot runs to them to show hospitality because he knows that this city is a wicked one. And if strangers are not received and protected, then they become fodder for the unrighteousness that goes on in Sodom. But in the process of doing that, what does Lot receive? Protection that night. Deliverance from the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's at work, isn't he? You entertain strangers because God would have you to do that as his child, and the likelihood of blessings to follow is great. Deliverance, a child. It's an attitude that God then instituted into law. We have one more example that we'll look at in just a moment. But in the law, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 9, you shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. God made it nationwide a law. You receive. You have a positive attitude toward those that you don't know. Like I said, next week we're going to see the opposite happening within the church. And it's sad. But for now, accentuate the positive. You receive strangers because that's exactly who you once were, in a strange land. Another example that I think of is the parents of Samson, Manoah and Samson's mother, or Manoah's wife, in Judges 13 and verse 6. Manoah's wife is visited by a stranger, and she's told things, and she runs and she tells her husband. Manoah's not quite as open to the concept of trusting those who are strangers. This particular verse in Judges 13 and verse 16 says, "The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord." Once again, it's an announcement. The angel has visited Manoah and his wife to let them know that they're going to bear a child, and specifically, the instructions have been given to Manoah's wife that she's not to drink wine, that she is going to have a child that should not have his hair cut. He's to be raised as a Nazarite. It's Samson, isn't it? An announcement from an angel. And now that should have been apparent, but it's a little confusing because it says here in Judges 13, 16, Manoah did not know that it was an angel of the Lord. But they were still willing and yearning to be hospitable. Then the angel, it says, does some wonderful things. And at the very end, after Manoah and his wife do offer a sacrifice to the Lord in thanksgiving, the angel ascends to heaven in the smoke. Wow. That's quite the birth announcement, isn't it? The other incident in the Old Testament is with Jacob as he is developing into a man of God. God has commanded that he return to the land of Palestine. And yet, as he goes, he still shows his reticence by placing his wife and his children and all of his herds on the other side of the river while he stays on the east side by himself. And during the night, he is visited by a man that he wrestles with throughout the night. I'm not sure this quite qualifies as hospitality to strangers, but maybe you've had some, that this has been your experience. But after wrestling all night, the angel touches his thigh, and Jacob walks with a limp from then on, but also changes Jacob's name to Israel, which is interesting because Israel means one who wrestles with God. Isra is the Hebrew word that's translated Sarah, by the way, but it means to strive or to contend with. Israel, E-L, is God. For one who strives with God. Hospitality to strangers, verse 2 of Hebrews 13, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Does that still apply today? Even in the qualities or attributes of a widow who has been left to herself before she can be enrolled in the church to be taken care of by the church, perhaps dedicating herself in service to the church, Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verses 9 through 10, "A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old." In other words, she's got to be over 60. "Having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work." It still applies today, doesn't it? I want to encourage you, and you're already doing this. I'm going to read a card that proves it. You're already doing this, but I want to encourage you to think when you see a stranger, opportunity. Let us get to know you. Come worship with us. Here is what God would have me to have as an attitude. Isolationism is not an attribute of Christianity. God says to his people there in Exodus 23, "You be kind to strangers because you know what it's like to be a stranger yourself." Do you? Oh, we experience it from time to time when we go to a place where we're not known. Maybe it's a trip out of state, and you choose to worship with a congregation where you've never been before. You know what often happens? You begin to make connections with those people. I hope you're not one that sneaks in and sneaks out, comes late and leaves early. I mean, that can be comfortable. It keeps you off the spot, but that's not what the strangers did in Gaius's congregation. In fact, Gaius received them to find out that they were evangelists that were being supported by the church, doing the work of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, so as you worshiped at that congregation, perhaps you did make some connections where they didn't know you necessarily, but they knew your family or they knew friends of yours from times past. Perhaps it was a lectureship series that you went to where you worshiped with thousands. Have you ever gone to a foreign country and worshiped? We've been blessed, Colleen and I, to worship in Ecuador, Israel, Turkey, and Greece with the brethren, quite often not even speaking the same language, but being able to sing and to praise God. Being the stranger is sometimes our lot as well. And it's important for us to behave as we should, as receiving the welcome, as participating in the worship. Paul writes to Philemon in Philemon's 1 and verse 20, "Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." When we worship together, even in a congregation that's not familiar to us, and yet one that celebrates the Lord's Supper, we unite with the spirits that are there in commemorating the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. There's nothing like singing with the brethren during worship, sweet harmony of raising our voices together in praise, praying, communing with God, our Father, and study from God's Word to find others with similar focus and intent on striving to learn what God would have us to do. There was a song this week that played, and I know part of it was because I was preparing this lesson, but one of the phrases in the song was, "Please read the letter that I wrote. Please read the letter that I wrote." That's what we're doing, isn't it? So we talked about the round robin recently. God is saying, please read my word. There's nothing like our minds melding on passages of Scripture, of receiving encouragement, of seeing total strangers with the same intent in their life, building unity and support. This card that I am going to read to you now is from someone who worshiped with us almost exactly 3 years ago, in November of 2021. And he sent a card back to us, which was very gracious of him. And it's dated 11/15/21. "To my new Christian friends," by the way, his name is Gary Williams. "To my new Christian friends, thank you so much for your love and encouragement. You remind me of a person in the New Testament whom I met as a young Christian. You, like him, refresh the hearts of the saints. You are a delightful group of Christians. I appreciated the invitation to the potluck lunch. The fellowship was even better than the lovely food. Thank you all. May you continue in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gary E. Williams." I'll have that available if you want to read that for yourself. It sounds almost too pat, doesn't it? That I would just happen to have this card. I promise it's legit. What a compliment to this congregation. Ladies, I want to say thank you for continuing to support our fellowship meal every Sunday. I know it's not convenient, and I know it's hard work. I know the hours, the monies that you spend, and yet it's a blessing. It gives opportunity. We've shared just this past month with a group that came with us from Texas, a dozen or so. It is delightful to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship with them, to fellowship with them, to sing, to pray, to study. Let us get to know you. Come worship with us. In closing, I want to emphasize what John writes to Gaius in verse 4. This is 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. That sounds like our Heavenly Father too, doesn't it? What does God want most of all? For us to walk in His way. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Beloved Gaius, no greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth.